Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can just come to you and into your presence. Lord, that I pray that we never grow tired of that thought, Lord. That what an honor and a privilege it is to come before you and to know that our prayers are heard and that you use prayer to move in our lives and shape us and change us and comfort us and direct us and guide us. And Lord, I want to lift up Bev this morning, as I was told by Evelyn, her mother, that she has cancer and it's spreading through her body. And so we lift her up to you this morning in this service, Lord, that you would just heal her body, that you would be with the doctors, that you would be with the family, Lord, that these are the times that prayer is most precious to us, to know that when we have nowhere else to turn, Lord, that we can turn to you and that you hear our prayers. Lord, I pray that you would just teach us something about prayer this morning as we open up your word. Make us teachable and teach us. Let prayer take root in our hearts. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have trouble praying? That's the honest people. I'm not calling the rest of you liars, but we are in church. We struggle with prayer, don't we? We all do. I don't care who you are, you struggle with it. It's like the easiest thing to forget. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've made a decision, and then afterwards you go, man, I didn't even pray about that. I mean, it was a big decision, too, and I didn't even consider God. And boy, when it starts to fall apart, you start praying, Lord, please get me through this. Or Lord, bless this. I mean, how many times you sat in a church service and a planning meeting or someone, and someone comes and we come up with this big elaborate plan, and then we all sit around and pray that God blesses it. Never once asked him what the plan was. We'll come up with that. You just bless it and we'll run with it. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. And so I want to talk this morning about prayer. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open it up to Hebrews chapter 4 and just keep your finger there. That's where we're gonna focus in towards the end of it. And if you have your bulletin on the back, you can follow along in the outline. And I'm going to give you a whole bunch of different verses. I'm not going to read them, but when I get to that point, I just encourage you to write them all down and that to go back and look them up yourself. So, we have been looking at four of the greatest gifts that God has given us. We have narrowed it down to the Bible, prayer, the Holy Spirit, and of course, Jesus Christ. And we also included faith, grace, and salvation. And I'm going to attempt, this was my goal from the beginning, was to weave these together, all together, into making kind of like a tapestry, a picture, a blanket, whatever you want to use, so that on Sunday morning, we could step back and see the big picture, how they all fit together, and be able to wrap ourselves in that, and wrap ourselves in the Bible and prayer and the Holy Spirit, and to draw near to Christ, to know Christ, to be excited about how we came to know Christ and who I am in Christ and how I can share Christ. That's my goal for this Christmas season and these four messages about God's greatest gifts. So we want to unwrap each of these gifts, and I want you to get excited about each one. I was thinking about when I wrote that, you know, I think about as a little kid when you come down to the tree and you see the present, the excitement. You know, once you open it, you're not excited anymore, but that initial, like that big box, and you start to open it up and the expressions and the feelings and just the whole room, you can feel it of opening that box. That's how I want you to feel this morning. I don't want to fill your head with just knowledge, but I want to excite you to participate. Because each one of these gifts that we're looking at involve something. They require involvement. Each one of these gifts require your participation to be fully enjoyed, the full effect of them. All these gifts, when used, will shape us. In fact, as I was thinking about this, I thought that each one of these should come with a warning label. Just stick a sticker on your Bible and the prayer, and this is what I would say the warning label should say. Warning. Use of this gift will result in changed behavior. You will shine and others will see Christ in you with continued use. You will not be the same person as you were when you started. If you read your Bible and you pray and you draw close to the Holy Spirit and draw near to Christ, you will not be the same. They will not be the same person as when you first started. So my prayer is that we would not be the same, that we would be different as we look at these gifts. So we're going to unwrap prayer this morning. And as I open the gift, I hope you are drawn into using it, to think more about it. I don't want to leave here feeling guilty that Christians spend more time in the shower than they do in prayer. But I want you to get excited about prayer. So the question comes down to, what is prayer? How would you define prayer? Prayer, it's simple. It's conversing with God in words, thoughts, or gestures. And I say that prayer is talking to God. And people do it in all kinds of ways. I mean, I think about when I'm standing before people, I have a vision of going before the throne, and I'll share that. And you'll hear it in the way that I pray. Thank you for letting me come into your presence, because that's how I feel. And then there's other times when I'm just walking and I'm just talking, or I'm just listening. There's other times when I'm just like, Lord, help me. Just a simple, nothing elaborate. You just come across something, you know? Lord, help me stay pure in this situation. Help me think right. Lord, give me the words to say. I don't know if any of you have prayed those kind of prayers, but it's in the idea of just being in a prayerful mind all the time and just saying it. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate. Some people get on their knees, get on their face. I mean, I've heard all kinds of ways of prayer, and there's none of them that are wrong. None of them. And so whatever puts you in the right spirit to pray, do it. I just encourage you to pray any way that you feel comfortable in doing it. It marks a life with God as a state of mind where you continually pay attention to God's presence in the world around us. Prayer builds a relationship with God as we respond to His love and His mercy and His commitment to lead us in truth. It builds our faith as we participate with God in this life. That's a definition. But we can see how prayer shapes us and molds us and changes us. As we respond to God's love and His mercy, as He talks and interacts with us through Scripture and through other people, it starts to build us. And prayer is being in that state of mind where we are constantly aware of God in our lives and in around us and in the lives of others. What are some of the things that we pray about? We simply pray about our concerns and what concerns God, especially when we first start out. We all start out this way. It slowly starts to change, though, as we mature. Slowly, God's concerns become bigger than our own concerns. I've noticed that as I have grown as a Christian. We pray for personal well-being, for the well-being of others. We pray for the kingdom of God to grow and expand in this world. We pray that that our bonds with God, and as we slowly grow in the Lord, we start to notice that our concerns become God's concerns. And we learn how to pray for what is good rather than to pray for what we want. Our wants literally change under God as we pray. And I don't know if some of you have watched this happen in your own life, in your own prayer life. Usually when you start praying for things that you want. I want a new car. I want a new house. I want this. I want that. Whatever it is. But you start to see that change as you start to pray. I mean, you'll hear new Christians pray for those kind of things. It comes naturally because it's our culture. But as we pray, you start to see something happen. I pray for Bev and her cancer. I pray for a coworker. You start to pray for my mom. I pray for my brothers and my sisters. I pray for my friends. You start to see a change start to take place in the person as they start to pray, because God's concerns become your concerns. They start to overshadow your own concerns about yourself. And I think that's when you start to really see the greatest growth in Christians, is when you start to hear them pray for others. And I'm not saying that you don't pray for yourself. I'm not saying that at all. It's just the focus is different. The focus is different. We change literally under God. Examples of this might be praying for someone we work with who is difficult. Anybody had somebody they've worked with that is difficult? Yeah. Everybody's hands at one time or another, you've had to work with someone who is very difficult, or live with someone, or go to church with someone who's difficult. It doesn't matter. There's always difficult people in our lives. But when we start praying for them, something happens. Instead of ignoring them, we start to love them. And prayer changes the way that we view them. This is just an example. We start to see them the way that God sees them. But there's other things that are work here than just trying to get along with somebody. Prayer starts to teach us patience with this person, compassion for this person, awareness and simplicity, leading us to understand our part in the greater community around us. What started out as a prayer on how to deal with a difficult coworker turns into something greater. And this is repeated over and over in our lives, and it shapes us. Changes the very way that we interact with our families and our co-workers and our community at large. And it's just a simple prayer, and you don't even realize it's happening. But it's prayer that is changing you through the Holy Spirit as God works on you through prayer. See, here's the thing about prayer. Prayer is meant to change us. It is meant to change us. Prayer does not change God's mind or shape His will. It is already established. So if you think you're going to pray to change God's mind, it's already established. He already has His will and His purposes. Prayer is to change our will and purposes. It is to shape ours into His. The deeper meaning of prayer is we pray because we live in a relationship with God, a love relationship with a being, and beings who love each other talk to each other. Did you know that? If you're struggling in a relationship, especially like, say, a marriage, one of the first things that starts to happen is you stop talking. Just think about it. And when that happens, nothing good comes out of it. I guarantee you. I've been married almost 24 years. When the wife and me aren't talking, things are not good. And they're going to get uglier and uglier. Until what? Until you start talking. You know? Even if it's ugly at first, you get it out of the way and you deal with it. And you go away and you start to reestablish that conversation. And it's the same way with God. God builds, it's a love relationship that we're in with God. And He wants to talk to you. He wants to be a part of your life. There's nothing trivial that happens in your life that God is not concerned with, because he loves you. I mean, just think about it, especially when you're a teenager. Some of the things you talk about are the stupidest things in the world. But it doesn't matter, because what? You're in love with that person. You don't care what you're talking about. You just want to talk. It's just how it is. We don't pray to inform God. I can't tell you how many times I've listened to prayers of telling God what's going on. He knows what's going on. But we engage God in conversation that in turn provides us with confidence, clarity, and the ability to move forward in life. So many people are looking for clarity and looking for confidence in where they're going and what is going on. And they try to figure it out on their own, because the world around us tells us, you can figure it out. You can do it. You can do all things. But I don't believe that. I believe in prayer through God, he will shape me and direct me and guide me. And the less I think about where I'm going and where God wants me to go, the clearer it gets. So many of us go through life muddled and trying to figure out who we are and where we're going. And God wants to give you that answer, because he has a plan and a purpose for you. He knows your life. What I absolutely love about the Bible is the example in Christ. I don't know if you've ever thought about just the examples that we have in Christ. It is written down for us to read. We can look at the perfect being who lived the perfect life, and he gives us an example for us to read. Just think about that for a moment. We can see God in flesh, not only telling us what we should do, but he gives us an example to follow. I love that about the Bible. I absolutely love that. If I'm struggling with something, an idea or something, I just go read what Jesus did. And I know that's what God would want me to do, because that's what he did. So if we want to know what to pray for and how to pray, we just need to go to the Gospels and look at what Jesus did. Jesus sets the example. And I can't help but think about Paul when he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And that comes out of 1 Corinthians 11:1. What were Christ's examples? And I'm not going to read the actual scripture verses, but I'm going to give them to you. And then you can go home and look them up. He prayed before important decisions. That was Luke 6:12. And at his baptism and transfiguration, he prayed. Luke 3:21-22 and 9:29. He spent the entire nights in prayer. Mark 6:46, Matthew 14:22-23, and John 6:15. Before his death, he prayed for his persecutors. He prayed for all of them. Luke 23:34. He prayed for his disciples, John 17:6-19. His future followers, the people who would follow him in his message later on, that's us. He prayed for us, John 17:20-26. And then lastly, he prayed for himself, Mark 15:34 and Matthew 27:46. Jesus taught others to pray in the word and by example. So he talked about it, and then he showed them on what to do. I mean, just think, before he chose the disciples, he spent all night in prayer. Did not sleep that night, then walked out and picked the disciples. I think that's amazing. He taught the disciples how to pray hard, or how to be heard in faith. He promised to be present whenever we gather to pray, and that's Matthew 18:19-20. The New Testament writers tell us that Christ intercedes for us in glory. And that's 1 John 2:1 and Romans 8:34. So I'd encourage you to go look those verses up if you wrote them down. And go, there's a lot of them, a lot of examples. And just meditate on those things and just see what Christ did in example. But I have to tell you, when I pray, there is one place in the Bible that I always think of. It's always in my mind when I'm praying. I can't shake it. And especially is true when I am with others. I'm in the hospital, or I'm talking to somebody on the phone and I'm praying with them. I always think about these verses, and it comes from Hebrews 4:14 through 16. I visualize this. And I just want to encourage you, if you want to think about prayer and how to pray for others, to think about these verses, to go home and chew on them a while and let them become a part of your life. And here's what it says. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to the confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who is tested in every way and yet was without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. Reading this at first glance, we see that we have a high priest in Christ. The high priest intercedes on the behalf of man to God. In the Old Testament, you still had a high priest, but he was a man. He had to go consecrate himself. He had to go offer sacrifices for his own sins before he could take your offering for your sin. But in Christ, we have a high priest who is without sin, a high priest who is an advocate to God the Father, holy and pure, righteous and perfect. He intercedes for us in the presence of God himself. Because of Christ and our confession of faith in him and who he is, remember we talked about in Romans that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that Jesus is Lord, that's the confession, that we believe that Jesus is Lord, and we hold true that confession. Our faith, again, is not in our works, but in the works of Christ and his righteousness, which are imputed unto us as we confess our faith in him. So we are imputed with his righteousness. It's not our righteousness, it's Christ's righteousness that is put upon us. We have to understand that. We need to let the weight of that rest upon you. Fully, the idea of Christ and what he gives us through Christ. His works and not ours. It is in Christ that we have the perfect high priest who passed through heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, who is the one who pleads our case before the throne of God. Why is that important? It's an incredible to think about. Let's just look at this for a moment. Because we have a Savior who knows what it's like to be human. He was tested in every way and never sinned. He was tempted but never gave in to it. He never crossed over the line into sin. He lived a perfect and sinless life. He did what you and I could never do. Lived perfectly. Being fully human and fully divine, Christ fills the role of high priest. Grab hold of this amazing thought. The fact that we have a God who can sympathize with our weakness. He knows what it's like to be human. He's not a God who's sitting somewhere far away on a throne somewhere, uninvolved and uncaring with the affairs of man. He knows what it's like to be a human. We have a God who knows what it's like to be tired, to be hungry, to feel betrayal, to feel suffering, to feel pain. He knows loneliness. He knows what it's like to feel rejected, to be homeless, to be hated, and to be loved. He knows all of that. We're not on our own to figure it out. I take comfort in that because I can't figure out anything. To know that I have a God who cares for me, loves me, died for me, guides me, directs me. We have a God who actively interacts in our lives. We have a God who loved us in this way, that he went to the cross and he died for our sins. He gave his life joyfully that we might have life with him. Life with him in eternity. Life with him in this world now. A God who is alive. He defeated death through the resurrection. And because of him, I can approach the throne of grace with boldness and surety. We can come before God fully justified, fully righteous through the blood of Christ, cleansed and whole. And we can come with boldness and confidence. We can kneel before the King who sees us not as some nobody, not some lowly person who doesn't belong there. He sees a child of God. He sees an heir to the throne. That gives me goosebumps. You're somebody in front of the King. You're not nobody. A child before the Father. And we can have confidence in our high priest, Jesus Christ, who intercedes on our behalf, who knows us, knows our weakness, and loves us just the same. There's so much comfort here. I could literally preach on this little verses for a long time, because there's so much comfort here. There's so much to talk about in these verses. There's so much hope, and we need hope because we live in a time of hopelessness. Why do I take so much comfort? And how do these verses help me? When you get the text that says, call me. When you're on the phone with your mother and you hear the words, I have cancer. Or when you're told the horrible news, whatever it is, and it shatters your world. The crushing weight drives you to your knees, and you have nowhere else to go, and you're lost for words, sobbing in the pain. Where will you turn to in that moment? Because it is coming in life. It will arrive, some sooner than later, but it will arrive. Some of you have experienced it this year alone, and you know the pain. You know what I'm talking about. Where will you turn for comfort? Who can comfort you at that moment? Who can hold you? Who can bring you any relief from your pain? Who? There is nobody. I promise you, there won't be anyone who can help you at that moment. It is when we can go to the throne of grace. When we can go to the throne of grace in prayer and find rest, hope, and peace. In that moment before the throne, you will receive mercy and grace. The help you get you through it. Jesus, the high priest, will intercede on your behalf. He will strengthen us and walk alongside us. He will lift us up and help us take that very first step. He'll help us take the next step in the midst of that storm. He'll help us piece our lives back together after it passes. And the beautiful thing is that he'll put a new song in our mouths, a song of praise to our God in the end. Only God can do that. Only God can do that, and only God can do it when we come to Him in prayer before the throne of grace. We have access through prayer to the throne of grace, the throne of strength, the throne of mercy, the throne of hope and peace in Christ Jesus. Prayer is an incredible gift. An incredible gift. Prayer opens us up to God. It shapes us and molds us into His likeness. We can take the small things of God, the small things of life, I mean, to God. We can take the big things of life to God. He cares for them all. He wants a deep and meaningful relationship with you. He wants to walk with you every step of your life and in the life to come. That's, as the psalmist says, it's too wonderful for me to understand, too lofty for me to attain, to think that God would care that much for me, because there's nobody in this world that loves me that same way. Nobody. That's reality. Through prayer, we find comfort and mercy. We experience grace and strength. We find direction and clarity. Prayer builds our faith in God as He guides us in our steps and carries us when we can no longer walk. Prayer is a great gift. And I just want to encourage you to become prayer warriors, to start to pray. Because I guarantee you, when you start to pray, and some of you in this room know that when we start to pray for things, things happen. We've watched it happen in this church over and over again. And so when I say I start praying for something, I had a lady tell me, how can you pray? She says, I want to see my kids come to know Christ. And I said, they will come to know Christ. We'll start praying for it. And she said, how can you have so much confidence? And I said, because I know that's God's will. For those kids to know Christ, that's God's will. And it will happen if we pray for it. I believe that. Not just that, though. There's so many things. Healings and how He takes care of us. And I just want to encourage you to pray. In fact, this morning, we're going to pray. So I'm going to close us, and I'm going to close the sermon in prayer. And then what I want to do is have us stand, and I want you to find somebody near you. And I just simply want you to ask them, what can I pray for you about? And it doesn't have to be anything fancy. It's whatever is troubling in your heart. You don't feel well, whatever it is. But just pray for that person next to you. Just break off into little groups and just pray. Just simple prayer. Just ask them what they have that they need prayer for and pray for them. And it doesn't have to close in some elaborate thing or open in some elaborate thing. Just ask God on their behalf to help them. Think we can do that? All right. Let's go ahead and close in prayer, and then we'll have a time of prayer, and then we'll have our offering. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You that we could just come to You in Your presence before the throne of grace and know that You hear our prayers. I'm so thankful that I can come into Your presence, Lord, that You hear our prayers and You know, Lord, even when I can't pray, You pray for me. When those moments when I cannot speak, the Holy Spirit groans in our behalf. Lord, that's so comforting to me to know that You would be that close to me. And so, Lord, I pray that You would just burn upon our hearts the burden of prayer, and that prayer would become a part of our lives, and that we would start to pray for others around us, Lord, and that You would use prayer to change us, to mold us and to shape us and to make us into the very likeness of Your Son, Jesus. That's my prayer. And so, Lord, as we enter a time of prayer, I pray that You would just get rid of all the little obstacles that we have, the awkwardness or awkward feelings or just not feeling that we know how to do this, Lord, that you would just take that away and that you would help us pray. And I just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.